Andrew McCarthy joins us by phone tonight. We know him well from his acting career, including starring roles in St. Elmo's Fire and Weekend at Bernie's. He's also an accomplished writer and photographer and editor-at-large for National Geographic. His work has appeared in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, along with other publications. His memoir, The Longest Way Home, was a New York Times bestseller. Tonight, we're going to talk about Journeys Home, in which Andrew McCarthy writes about his own journey and which features his photographs, along with over 24 other personal journeys. I want to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you very much.
If you would, start us off with an overview of Journeys Home. Tell us who sponsored it and some of the folks that contributed to it, where they took us.
It's a National Geographic book, which means it's chock full of beautiful photos. And then the words they hang around those photos are by myself and 25 other sort of wonderful travel writers, Pico Iyer and Joyce Maynard and Diane Johnson, a bunch of other wonderful people who go, I went to Ireland tracing my roots, and then Pico went to India, and people go to Cambodia and Cuba and all over the world, really. So it's a fascinating and funny and times heartbreaking accumulation of different stories, you know, because it's so interesting. Everybody comes from somewhere and everybody's story is so different and so individual. And our perspective to our story is always so changeable. Like Pico's story talks about when he was a young man, he was sent to India by his parents as a teenager, and he had no interest in going. And 30 years later, it's still informing his life, that trip.
He actually ended up in the Dalai Lama's living room at one point.
Yeah. You never know where you're going to end up.
Your name is a pretty big clue to your ancestral home, and you've already mentioned Ireland. You made a series of journeys there and made some pretty big discoveries. So tell us about your journey, please.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to Ireland dozens of times. I first went in 1986, I think, by accident, really. I was in London and I went over for a weekend and stayed a month because I had that feeling that we often can get somewhere where it's like, I just feel really comfortable here. And I kept going back time and time again. I eventually met my wife in Ireland, and she's Irish from Dublin. So I've had sort of a long history with Ireland, more than any other country except for my own. But I'd never really thought to look for my specific roots before, about where my family was from, until I got an email one day out of the blue saying I was invited to a McCarthy clan reunion down in County Cork. And I was curious about it. What was interesting to me is that I didn't immediately delete it, because I think when I was much younger, I would have certainly, I had no interest. And then something about it struck me. And so, I mean, the whole book came about because I mentioned this to my editor, and I said, there's this family reunion. He said, you ought to go and write about it. And I said, well, we ought to do a book about it. So I traced my roots and found out, in fact, I wasn't from County Cork at all, but from County Kerry, which to us may not mean much, but it's a bit like growing up a Yankee fan my whole life and discovering one day that I should have been rooting for the Boston Red Sox my whole life. And then going back to the homestead where I was from, you know, we were able to find the plot of land and going back and thinking, well, I'd like to go see the ruin of the house and walk the land and maybe I'll feel something. And it turns out the house is still being inhabited by my second cousin. And I went there and expecting to have a cup of tea with this lovely old lady, and it turned out there were 25 more of my family members sitting on the stoop waiting for me when I got there. So we had this crazy, raucous reunion with people I'd never met who were my family.
I think one of the interesting things to me was you describe your relationship with your immediate family in the States as frosty, that's your word, and speak of yourself as being alone in a crowd. How did the trips to Ireland and meeting up with these relatives once removed, second and third cousins, affect you, given that's where you were coming from, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I think my own relations with my own more immediate family have certainly softened over the years as one gets older and has kids of their own and all that kind of thing. And venturing further out wouldn't have been possible if that hadn't been the case. But I have often joked that I didn't need to go looking for more trouble. I already had enough of my family that I had. Why go look for more? Connection is what we all, I think, want ultimately in a certain way. And that's one of the great things that travel does for us. It connects us to the world in a way that we hadn't anticipated. You know, Mark Twain had that great line, travel's fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. And I think travel broadens us in a way. And going and finding family far from home in that way connected me in a way that I hadn't anticipated and made me feel, I suppose, more comfortable in myself and in my place in my family. And consequently, that's a liberating feeling. So to me, it was a much bigger experience than I'd anticipated. I thought I was just going to go write a story and meet some people who are strangers and yet related to me. And yet, and that all did happen, and yet there was something more to it that I can't quite explain that gave me, not peace, but a certain sense of awareness and acceptance sort of where we come from, and I think, and where I come from, and I think that's all to the good.
Yes, you seem to be welcomed with open arms.
I certainly was. Yeah.
That's wonderful. I want to shift gears a little bit here because we, of course, know you well as an actor, and you have contributed to this book, but you also have other awards for your writing and photography. Tell us about this switch, if you will, or perhaps it's just parallel tracks of acting and photography and writing in your life.
Well, it's much more writing, but yeah, it was a curious thing. It's life happens and who knows. When I was a kid and I discovered acting, the first time I acted, I had a feeling of like placing myself. I was like, oh, there I am. And I felt like myself in a way that I hadn't before. So I pursued it. Years later, I began traveling the world. And particularly when I landed in Ireland, I had a similar feeling of, oh, there I am. And I felt a certain comfort in myself that I had only ever experienced in acting. And so eventually I just started to write about that because I think travel is about much more than places. It's about what it does to us, like I said. And so I started to write about that. And then I met an editor at the magazine and said, eventually, you ought to let me write for your magazine. Well, you're an actor, dude. And I said, yeah, but I know how to tell a story. That's what I do for a living as an actor. And look, if the story doesn't work out, you don't have to pay me. And he said, that I can live with. Okay. I wrote a story and it sort of turned out fine. And then I wrote more and more. And it became this sort of accidental parallel career. But again, to me, they're sort of the same because they both tap into that feeling of I feel like myself when I'm doing them. They happen to be very different things. Travel writing and acting are very different things out in the world. And yet, they manifest the same way in me. I feel very much like comfortable and like myself when I'm doing them. So it just sort of happened to me.
Well, your photography is stunning. They're beautiful. There's a double page spread on the way to Dingle, I think it is, which is you describe as on the way to nowhere.
It's on the way to nowhere but itself, yeah.
So I'm wondering, was photography a hobby? Are you self-taught? Did somebody mentor you?
I hate to correct you there, but that photo is not mine. It's by a guy named Dave Yoder. So that photography is not mine. I do some of the photography, but I'm not particularly good at it. And, you know, Nat Geo has much better grown-up photographers than me. But pretty much everything I've done, I have to say, is self-taught. Or not self-taught, but I mean, I jerry-rigged together. I was never very good at school and things, so I've sort of seen people who do things very well, and then I try and steal from them or pick their brains. So I don't know if anything is self-taught, but I was not a formal learner very well.
If you would, tell us about a couple of other journeys that people go on in this book, maybe one that particularly intrigued you or may have been very different from your journey.
Well, I love the story of the man who goes back to Cuba after so many years, particularly Cuba now. It's opening up in a way for us and becoming accessible in a way that I think we should all sort of rush to Cuba before it gets a McDonald's. But the man who walked back to his old house and he knocked on his neighbor's door after 50 years. Last time he was there, was a 7-year-old child, and the neighbor opens the door, and after not seeing him for 50 years, he says, "Where the hell have you been, Juan Jose?" Without missing a beat. And it's this notion that however far we go, when you come home, you come home. And it's like nowhere else coming home. And even if you've never been there, like when I went to my family, you've never been there before, and yet somehow something about it feels right. Like the first time I landed in Ireland, it just felt right, and suddenly I kept going back there. There's a story in the book about the man who goes to Cambodia, where he lost all his family when he was a kid and returning to Cambodia, and the sort of healing, I think, that goes on in that. A lot of the stories in the book are surprising to people, and the healing that happens or the sort of gentleness that happens and some of the humor that happens in them. I think the book, in a large way, is a lot like, I hate to say it, like family. It's sort of a mixed bag of everything. We get it all. And because it's family, things are very fraught and meaningful in a way that they might not be otherwise.
I think this will inspire many of us to think about our own journeys home. And there's a part of the book that actually addresses that. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, there's a section that gives helpful tips and hints for people on how they can begin the process of looking. So that was my case. I just didn't know, how do you begin? Where do you even start? But it's one of those things, it's once you begin, it becomes this sort of mystery and this treasure hunt, and one thing leads to the next, which leads to the next, which leads to the next, and suddenly there you are. And so the book helps with that, helps get people started and points people in the right directions with some websites and people to contact and institutions and things. So it can be very helpful in that way.
Tell me what's next for you.
Travel writing is a beautiful career, but it doesn't really pay for kids in school. So I do a lot of television directing. Right now I'm directing a show called The Blacklist, and I do a lot of that show called Orange is the New Black and things like that. So, and my next travel trip is to Iran. I'm going to Iran to write a story for Nat Geo.
And does that have a particular focus?
The focus of that basically is they want to kill us, right? And the answer I'm going to find out, right? I mean, we all have this connotation. You say Iran, people go, are you crazy? And no, you know, I think we go and find out that people are people all over the world. And I think Iran, the people of Iran tend, I imagine, and I know people have been, that they are incredibly welcoming and very interested and curious about who we are. As Americans, we tend to throw people in with their governments. And I think the world is a little better than we are at separating governments from the people. I've never been anywhere in the world where I haven't been welcome. People often say, your government's crazy, but Americans we love. You're curious, you tip well, and you're polite. My angle on Iran is really, let's go find out. Instead of being told by other people what it's like, let's go find out. And I think that's a great philosophy in the world. Go find out for yourself.
Yes, put a human face on it.
Yeah, exactly. You put a human face. It's very hard to hate people that you met and that you know, instead of some idea that we've been told about someone. And I think, let's go put a face on it and see. I've never been anywhere in the world where I've asked for help and someone has said no to me, except New York. But, you know, I live in New York. So I think, you know, you ask for help. It's a beautiful thing to ask for help because it brings us down to our right size. You can't pretend to be a know-it-all or tough or got this covered when you go, can you help me? Instantly. Make ourselves vulnerable to another like that instantly opens us. And I've always been received by people when I do that. People have always received me. They've never slapped me for it. And I think that's an important thing for us to do. I think to go out and make ourselves vulnerable out into the world is a powerful and empowering thing.
That's a great message to keep in mind. I want to thank you so much for your contribution to this beautiful book and for visiting with us tonight, talking about Journeys Home.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
I've been talking with Andrew McCarthy about the National Geographic-sponsored book titled Journeys Home, in which he is a featured writer and photographer. You'll find more information about Journeys Home at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.